So we'll turn now to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, reading from verse 13. Thanks, Olivia.
Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that, whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing.
Great, Olivia, thank you. Let me pray as we come to these words. Loving Father, we pray that your word indeed, by your Spirit, would be building us up, encouraging, comforting, urging us on in the Lord Jesus. We pray now that you would, as we prayed at the start, help us to focus, to listen, to learn, and to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, if you've been here for the series, you'll know that this church family that Paul is writing to in Thessalonica is just a few months old. And it seems that whilst they weren't sure at all when Paul was going to be coming back, if he was coming back, well, he'd assured them when he was with them that Jesus certainly was. And so a few months have gone by since Paul's had to flee for his life from the city. And they've got some understandable questions about the Christian life. It seems people have died since he left. And so they're understandably, rightly asking, hang on a minute, about these believers we've just buried. What's happening to them when Jesus comes? And then they're thinking about what Paul taught them. They're thinking, hang on, when Jesus returns, Paul called it a judgment day. What will the verdict be for us? And so Paul addresses those two questions that he's heard from Timothy they're going to be pondering. Because he longs for them and for us to live knowing the comfort and encouragement that Jesus is coming and all that means. And firstly, he longs for us to grieve, but with certain hope. We grieve with hope. Look at verse 13. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, worried about those you've buried, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. See, as Woody Allen once said, I'm not afraid of death, I just don't want to be there when it happens. See, all the efforts to avoid the spread of COVID aren't really just about the spread of COVID, are they? It's what the consequences of COVID might bring. It's death we're trying to avoid. And whether that death comes at the end of a good innings or at the end of an agonizing illness, dying and death is uninvited. It is not a welcome guest. It is unwanted, and we all rightly grieve at a graveside. See, Paul's not saying, don't grieve. He's saying, grieve. But not like everybody else. Because we have certain hope in a past event which offers a promised future. Look what he says in verse 13. He reminds us, we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. Verse 16, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven. In other words, we believe, we know, we trust, we saw a past event. Jesus defeated death and lives. And that offers a promised future because it's the same Jesus who's going to return. And we can be quite certain it'll be him because we're certain he's the one who died and rose. It's he who's our hope because he's coming. And what will that be like? Well, we're not going to miss it, are we? Verse 16, a loud command, the voice of the archangel, the trumpet call of God, the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Now, just to be clear, as we zoom out and take the Bible as a whole here, these words from Paul aren't just a program for the curious, but a comfort for the pained. He draws on Old Testament symbols and apocalyptic visions and poetic words to help us better picture what's been promised. You see, we've put a big banner outside saying, we're back, we're in the building. A lot of people haven't seen it, I'm sure, but Jesus is coming, and when he's back, no one's going to miss it, are they? Loud enough to wake the dead. Nobody's missing out. Nobody misses him. Oh, Christians grieve in death. It's rotten, but with a certain hope. Because it's not about having hope that matters, is it, for Paul? But hope in Christ. It's he who changes everything. Think about a skydiver jumping out of a plane. I don't know, anyone here ever been skydiving? Chickens? No, nor me. Jumping out of an airplane. And, of course, the hope for a skydiver at that moment, at the certain moment, as they pull the ripcord, is that their parachute will open and they'll gracefully float down to earth. Of course, it doesn't matter at all how confident their hope is in the ability of the parachute to do its job. No, their safe landing is solely based on the ability of the parachute to do its job. Whether they're perfectly at ease, totally sure, or an absolute bag of nerves. It's not the strength of their hope. It's what the hope is in. And friends, we believe Jesus died, but he rose. And he is coming. So we grieve. But it's with certain hope, because it's in him. Verse 18, therefore, if this is true, as we know it is, says Paul, encourage, or more closely, comfort one another with these words. You know that feeling of being tongue-tied at a person in their moment of grief? Not sure what to write in the card, what to say on the phone? Hope Clinton Cards can do its bit. What better words for Christians than these words? And wonderfully, Paul reminds us we do that for one another. You don't have to say, oh, you better go and have a chat with Adam. We've each other and we've these words. That means the grieving can be comforted by the not yet grieving. With these words. It means the not yet grieving, because we all will, can be comforted by the grieving as we see you draw comfort with these words. It means those of us with young children in our care, parents, godparents, grandparents, aunties, uncles, whoever it might be. It reminds me of, have we got that slide available, Anna? The slide that Jenny did this wonderful memory verse over the summer in lockdown. Put your hope in the Lord, children. Nowhere else, no one else. Fantastic colouring sent in. Stick it on the bedroom wall and never forget it. Certain hope for all who trust in Christ. And let's face it, what does this mean? Friends, this means whilst none of us want to go out trying to get COVID, let's remind one another all the time, we have a hope far greater than a vaccine. We have a hope and comfort far stronger than even the might of the NHS and all it's doing. Because if COVID does come, well, just like when death comes, we trust in Jesus. And he is coming. So we grieve, but with certain hope. That's the first question he addresses for them. Secondly, this question about this judgment when he comes, Paul's spoken about. But here he says, but when he comes, Christians, it's rescue, not wrath. Look at chapter 5, verse 1. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. You see, the day of the Lord is a Bible phrase. It's Bible language. For the day that the Lord fully and finally appears, bringing full and final justice. And so just as we told you before when we were with you, says Paul, we know Jesus is coming. That day will come. But we don't know when. Only the Father knows that. Not even Jesus knows. And so whilst people are going about their lives saying peace and safety, the sense here being God's not real, calm down, Jesus won't return, stop being crippled by that fear. Well, for them, Paul says, his coming will be like the arrival of a burglar, unexpected. And the arrival of a pregnant woman's labor, unavoidable. And for those with hope anywhere, but Christ, it's clear his return will be devastating, not delightful. But Paul wants to encourage, verse 4, but you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that day should surprise you like a thief. You're children of the light, children of the day. We don't belong to the night or the darkness, so then let us not be like others who are asleep. Let us be awake and sober. Carries on, verse 8, we belong to the day. Let's be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, salvation as a helmet. The point is he's drawing these contrasting pictures together of darkness and light, or night and day, saying it's the difference between night and day for those with hope in Christ and those without. So the language here of darkness is of being ignorant, in the dark, we might say, clueless, and glad to be so. Those preferring not to think about Jesus at all. I've met those during COVID time. I can't go there. I prefer it in the dark. Sleeping through life, says Paul. Drunk or just numbed to reality. And the surprise of Christ's return for them will be as awful as a thief's. Unexpected, unwanted, completely unprepared. But you, says Paul, brothers and sisters, we're not in the dark. We're not awaiting a shocking surprise. We're in the light. We're informed. We're awake. We're sober-minded or clear-headed, thinking appropriately and clearly. It'll be a surprise when he comes. It'll be expected and wanted, and we're prepared. Pictures it here, doesn't he, of dressed not in our pyjamas, sleeping through life, but here, again, a picture like a guard on duty, wearing that Christian uniform of faith in and love for and hope in Christ and his return. It's night and day to have hope in Christ. silly example, I'm sure, but imagine some celebrity has told you they're going to come. Let's say it's Harry Styles or Her Majesty the Queen. Take your pick, whoever you prefer. And they've promised they're coming to stay. After a while, you've kind of sort of given up on the promise, and just day by day, you kind of just keep hitting snooze on the alarm clock in the morning. And that means you miss the doorbell when it goes. And eventually, when you realize they are, in fact, stood there in your hallway as you're there in your drawers feeling a complete fool, you're completely unready. And all while your sister, there's always bound to be a sister, isn't it? Sister has got up and they've been looking out the window and they've been waiting and they're ready. And so as and when that day comes and the bell goes, they are all set to enjoy the company of Harry or Her Majesty. That is the difference, Paul says. And we can be quite sure about what Christ will do when he returns because of what he did when he first came. Verse 9, for God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, as in whether you are in bed or wide awake when he comes, we will live together with him. If that's where your hope is. You see, the great promise is that because of Christ's cross then, Christians are sure we won't receive his wrath but his rescue when he returns. And it's all about this wonderful picture in both answers to the questions Paul gives. It's about being together with one another, those gone before us, as we join them, but also together with, and above all, him. And so again, Paul tells us what to do. He says, therefore, because this is true, verse 11, encourage one another and build each other up, just in fact you're doing. See, friends, our hope is in Jesus. And therefore, because it's in him, we encourage each other in him. I don't know, maybe are you afraid that your lack of hope, maybe right now a slightly frail faith, means you fear what will happen when he comes? Maybe you're worried you'll be caught napping, using this language. You're having a spiritual off day. Ah, no quiet time this morning. And you fear his return. Well, be encouraged, Paul says. Maybe take your eyes off you and your circumstance, fix them firmly on him where your hope is. Because he died and he rose, and it's he who is coming. We'll receive what he promised. Rescue him. Maybe you can think, who could you be building up with these words this week? Who do you know who needs to be encouraged that this is true this week? Maybe we sit here thinking, well, I know it's true, but if we're honest, I think about this, you know, I kind of find myself living life as if it's something of an insurance policy. You know, we hear time and again, this is all there is. You've only got a few years on earth, 3 score years, what then? And so we live life saying, this is true, Jesus is coming. But actually, life's a bit of an insurance policy, because just in case he doesn't, I'm going to max out the credit cards now. The bucket lists, the spending plans, just in case this is all there is. Paul says, Jesus is coming. And twice in this passage, he says, so don't be like other people with bucket lists and spending plans. No, let's live in the present, very, very sure of the past, and therefore the absolutely wonderful promised future that only hope in Christ gives. Changes everything. And as we do that, we're aware this is the church in Thessalonica where Paul has commended them for this ringing out of the gospel in the region. It's worth we see these words and think, who can we ring out these truths to? Who do we know and love whose hope isn't in Christ yet? Which, for all that they might therefore chase in this life, means in the face of death, they've no hope at all. Who can we pray for and proclaim this message to? Of course, I'm aware you might well be someone here yourself who says, you know, I'm starting to see, but if I'm honest, my hope is in other things or someone else. But would love to see more about why you're so certain it should be in Christ. That is why we're here. Please do get in touch. Any of us would love to talk more. But friends, Jesus is coming. May we never tire of comforting, encouraging, and building each other up with these words. I'm going to pray, and then Kirsty's going to come and pray for us as well. Loving Father, we thank and praise you for these words. Thank you that Jesus is coming. I know I'm sorry, I'm sure lots of us are sorry, but too often it's at the back of my mind. And yet it's wonderful that he will return. Pray you'd help us to live in the present, in light of the past, and all therefore we can be sure of in the future. Help us to comfort each other in grief. Help us to anticipate knowing the safety we have in his judgment. Help us to speak of him and share him with one another, these words. And also these words with those who don't yet hope in him and we long would. And we pray in his name and for his glory and eagerly expecting his return. Amen.